Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. We'll start with some affirmations. Just repeat after me. I am strong. Hey, Deidre. I am strong. I am blessed. I am well. I have the mind of Christ. I am creative. I am love. I am energy. I am strength. I am success. I don't just have these things. I am these things. I am whole. I am joyful. I am purposeful. I am clear. I have clarity. I am focused. I am hopeful. I am hope. I am good gifts. I don't just receive good gifts. I am good gifts. I am a gift to the world. My life matters. My life has purpose. My life has direction. I am supposed to be here. I'm exactly where I need to be on my journey. I am at peace with myself. I'm at peace with my past. I'm at peace with my present. I'm at peace with my future. I am at peace in my spirit. I am at peace in my soul. I am at peace in my body. My spirit, soul, and body are all flowing together in perfect harmony. I am in harmony with creation. I am in harmony with the universe. I am in harmony with God. I am in harmony with spirit. I am in harmony with angelic beings that surround me. I am in harmony. I'm even in harmony with people that perceive to be my enemies. I am so next level that I am at peace with all people. It is possible, as much as lies in me, to live peaceably with all men. I am holy. I am sacred. I am anointed. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is in me. Spirit is permeating all of my cells. I hope you're repeating these things. I know I'm saying them fast, but you need to say them too. Let your voice penetrate the atmosphere. Send out that energy. Your words have power. Your words move things. Your words cause the mountain to fall into the sea. You have what you say. I have what I say. My words are powerful. My words are creative. My words are strong. My words are filled with faith. I have faith. I am a believer. I am a miracle worker. I am a miracle. I attract miracles. I have miracles. I do the impossible. I am well in my thinking. I am spirit is permeating my thoughts. Spirit is permeating my words. Man, I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost up here on this roof. Just saying these words, they're so powerful. I am next level. I am above strife. I am a seer. I am a visionary. I am prophetic. I am centered. I am all of these things. Just say those words out loud and just let them. This is the way I kind of see it in my spirit. It's like I put all these words out there and they're just all in the atmosphere floating around me. And they're moving out to the north and south and east and west, and they're beginning to change things. My words are the pavers for the road that I'm going to walk in the next few days. I am more than a conqueror. I have made it to December of 2020, and I'm still here, and I'm alive, and I am well. And I still believe the best is yet to come. I am happy. I am contented. I am contentment. I am happiness. I am joy. I am love. I am alive. I am grateful. I am aware. It's good stuff. Whew. Lord have mercy. I don't know if you can feel it, but I am feeling it. So it's good to see all of you. That was a Pentecostal shout that Beck just did. Hey, Kimberly. Hey, Leslie. Yeah, I know. It's good. Today's going to be good. Today already is good. Woo. It's good to connect with you. I do miss seeing you, but I tell you, especially for the Metron community, something happened with me, with you guys in these last 6 years where I'm, you know, when Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh and he said, he didn't speak of himself in first person. He said, I knew a man in Christ 25 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. I love that. That's such a mystical statement. He was talking about himself going into what he perceived to be the third heaven. But got you speaking in tongues. Well, speak it out, Beck. I've got the interpretation. but Paul said, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. I love that, and I relate to it because I love you guys, and I have loved, you know, this week I've been posting all of these memories of our Christmas events that we've had in the last 6 years. We did one at Virginia Highland Church. We did two of them at La Maison Rouge. We did one at Collinwald. We did two of them at Rhodes Hall. Three or four years, we went to Spirit and Truth Sanctuary, and which today's Pastor D.E.'s birthday, by the way. But there's a lot of great pictures that capture energy, a lot of them from the theater of us singing Christmas carols and different artists that I've had singing Christmas songs like Judah and Jonah and Chelsea Shag and Marshall Ruffin, Ted Wynn, Corey Lamont. And so I love reliving those things. It brings me a lot of joy to share those pictures. BJ Buford took most of them. And I've posted them before, and I've credited him in Metro Video when I've posted them previously. But so I have loved every one of those events that we've done together, every Sunday that we've been in the theater. I've especially loved the meditation weekends. They've been my favorite thing that I've done in 48 years of ministry. And we will do more again. I mean, there's going to be a lot of meditation in 2021. But even though I don't see you physically right now, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. It's like I've so bonded with the Metron community in these last 6 years. We're actually into our seventh year now, that I do miss seeing you, but I don't feel like you're distant from me. It's like I feel so connected to you in another dimension that there's something even higher than just seeing you in the natural, which we will see each other again. We will, I'm telling you, we will go back to the beach. We will have Christmas again. All these things will happen again. But I'm to a place now, whether I can say with Paul, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. It's like I love you when I see you. I love you when I don't see you, because I'm seeing you I think it's because I've been seeing you with spirit eyes long enough now that it's nearly like the physical vision is inferior to what I really see. Do you understand? It's like saying, I'd like to see you, or I'd like to see you. And I feel like the people, especially the Metron community, I mean, I've got a lot of people who still consider me their pastor that used to go to church in the now, and that's fine if that's the way you perceive it. But I'm talking about those of you who journeyed with me to Metron, because Metron was a high, nothing against Church in the Now. I love it, and I posted a beautiful picture yesterday of that nativity scene we used to put out there, and I love that. But Metron is just it's just a higher level, and that's nothing against mega church days, but it's just, I perceive it as something higher and greater. And those of you that stayed with me in the now, not just how you perceived me in 1995 or the year 2000 or earlier, but those of you who hear my voice now, in the now, I'm so bonded with you because I feel like you have seen me. You didn't see me filtered through a perception of what a church is. Now you've just seen me, and I see you. So that even if I don't see you, and most of you I have not seen in, what, since March? I think March was the last physical Metron we did at the theater. And I don't know how, look, I don't know how long we're going to be this way. I just, right now, this is like, you know, Judah got COVID and several people at his church got it, but they're all fine. He's back in the pulpit today. That's, are you kidding me? Of course, I'm delighted that my son's okay. And a lot of churches are meeting today. I'm not there yet, and I say this with no boasting at all, but to my knowledge, nobody in the Metron community has contracted COVID. If they have, they haven't told me. And that's no reflection on anybody else. I mean, Ken's up with his family up in Pigeon Forge today, and they're all in a big house, and his brother just had COVID, just had pneumonia. And I told him, I said, if you feel peace about this, then go with God. I am not in fear, but I'm just, tell your family I love them, but I'll see them when this is all over with. And, you know, he felt peaceful about it, and he's taking his precautions. So that's his journey. My journey is, as you're the part of me that is still a pastor, is not, I'm just not ready for that yet. I'm not judging anybody else. I do not think that authority figures asking churches not to meet, I don't think that's an attack on churches. I think the modern Christian church has imagined all kinds of persecution that is not there. But that's easy for me to say because I'm not trying to pay a big mortgage payment on a big building or pay a staff. So I'm so free of that whole world that I can do this with you and have the same results, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. I know you like to hear me in person, but I think those of you that are really connected to me, I think you hear me even when I'm not speaking. Just because, just yesterday, I was out walking. I walked, my watch said 15,000 steps, so I walked a lot yesterday, probably about 7 miles. And just while I was out walking, I would get messages. I shared one of them, but some of them I don't share because it's got personal information in there. And it's nearly like I'm out walking, I would have a thought, and then I would feel like my watch buzzes when I get a text. And I'd look at something, and I swear it was like some of you heard what I was thinking and answered me on the text. I mean, it was really, it was really a trip because I thought, wow, that's amazing. I'm thinking something. And then without me even verbalizing it, as much as I believe in the power of the spoken word, like I was saying earlier, there's an even higher level than that. There's a third heaven over that, where you think a thought and somebody answers. You, wow. Really, Beck? Okay, that, I just felt that. Beck's dad, who used to go to Church of the Now Midtown, he transitioned a few years ago, and she said, I hear my daddy talking about you. Woo! Okay, that, y'all got to stop, because I got to share this word with you. That's very powerful. But I was thinking things and people were answering my thoughts. Now you can say, oh, that's just, you know, that's just a coincidence. Well, I don't know. I think there's a lot of divine choreography in synchronicity like that. And I don't believe in a deity that has a plan for my life that, you know, I've got to find that plan. I think we're creating the will of God. But I do believe when you harmonize with your purpose, when you get in that zone, it's kind of like, you know, when you're driving on a car, driving on a road at night and your tire goes off a little bit and it doesn't make you crash or anything. It's just, you get on that, you know how on the expressway they have that grid thing? Like you're having smooth, you're traveling smooth, and then you get off just a little bit, and it's ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. It doesn't, I mean, you're still moving forward, but there's something about getting back up on the pavement where it's smooth again, and that's where I feel like I'm at nearly 100% of my time now. I'm not 100% of the time smooth, I mean, not always, but nearly always. So synchronicity is and meaningful coincidence and serendipity, all those words, they're very, very meaningful to me. So we will meet again. We will be, I'm assuming, back in the theater. I don't know. Somebody could walk up to me tomorrow and give me a building free of charge. I don't even know that I want a building, quite frankly. I mean, I was in a building program for 30 years in Conyers. And I nearly feel like I have buildings out of my system. I think I'm post building. But who knows? I mean, if somebody called me tomorrow and said, I've got a building nobody's using, you can have it, I don't know that I would turn that down. I mean, especially if they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. I mean, I might do that again. I don't know. But even if I don't, it doesn't matter. It's like my metron, which is the Greek word for sphere of influence, is the world now. And so I communicate with people all over the world on a regular basis that I don't know that I would still communicate with them if I was still locked into a church mindset. I'm not anti-church. I'm just post-church. And for other people that are still in that system, good for you, because there's clearly a market for it. There's clearly people out there who that's what they want. I already did it, and now I'm just in a different space. So, like, I miss you, but not really, because I feel connected to you. I feel one with you. And so that's why, like, I can share those pictures of our Christmas things and really enjoy them. I mean, you know, Avery put a lot of work into those, and Zest Catering, which are my cousins, they did, I mean, what they do is fabulous, and I love sharing those pictures. But you know, we're having our Metron event on Zoom on Wednesday, December 23rd at 8 o'clock. And if you've never done Zoom, it'll be really easy for you to do it. And it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. That's why I put it off. I put it off as far as I could, like as close to Christmas as I could, because I wanted to be able to look forward to it. So that's going to be great. And, you know, it's in the shout out that those of you that get the emails, it's, you know, you're reminded of that. So, thank God for social media. But, you know, I don't know what's 2021 might be just, you know, this whole thing could be totally past us. You know, thank God for these, vaccines that are coming out quickly. That's just wonderful. So, I'm very hopeful. I honestly feel more hope and possibility this morning, I think, than I have in my entire life. I really mean it. I'm aware that I'm aging, but I feel like I'm getting younger on the inside. You know, Paul said, though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. And I really feel that. I mean, I feel it's like the chronological clock is moving this way, but the Kairos clock is moving the other direction. Do you understand? It's like, whew. It's like I feel like as I'm getting older chronologically, I'm getting younger in the spirit realm, in the Kairos realm. Oh, man. Good stuff. All right, here's what I wanted to share with you. I used up all my time. The scripture I wanted to share with you today, and let me say this, no matter, you know, if you call me New Agey or whatever, that I don't consider that an insult. Big shout out to Ralph Martin, because he helped me with that. You know, he's I've always considered him a sage, and he helped me be less defensive about that, because I always wanted people to know I was orthodox and not, you know, out on some crazy tangent. So now I'm just like, if somebody says you're New Age, I'm like, yeah, a little bit. But what I know is the scriptures. And so even though I believe the letter kills, I always want to find some life in the scripture. That's what I know. I want everything in my past to make sense. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a man who brings treasure out of his house, both old and new. And so I don't want to abandon the scripture. So I probably for the rest of my life will always begin with a scripture as a reference point. And the one that's really strong in my spirit this morning is it's the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, that's the famous one where Paul begins with, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love. King James has charity, but the better King James is not a great translation. It's what we're familiar with, and it's beautiful language, but it's by no means the best translation. Anybody who says it's the authorized version, they're just showing their ignorance about biblical interpretation. But the word charity is better translated love, and in verse 4-7 of 1 Corinthians 13, he says, love suffers long and is kind, love envies not, love boasts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And then in verse 8, it says, and love never fails. King James says, charity never faileth. But the better translation is love never fails. And then he goes on, And the rest of that verse and into the next verse, he says, love never fails, but prophecies, they shall fail. And tongues, they shall cease. And knowledge, it shall vanish away. Then he says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And, you know, theologians have argued for years about, well, what is that which is perfect that has come? I have my own feeling about it. But I was thinking about this week, and I always want to be very sensitive to my mom. I don't know if she's watching this morning, but there's a lot of things I don't say just out of respect to her and her friends, because I know where they are theologically, and I'm not trying to be irreverent to them. So I just try to be aware of that when I talk about what I'm about to talk about right now. And the only reason I even mentioned her is I went over there Thursday of this week, took her dinner, and we had something to eat. We were sitting there watching a little bit of TV, and she said, oh, that's good. I like that, Mark. Thank you. I just read that. And so she said to me, because there's a lot of things we don't discuss. We don't discuss politics. We don't discuss end time stuff, because we're just not on the same page about that. And so we just have to agree to disagree. And but she said, my mom said, I think she's watching this morning. She said, because I'm looking at some of your comments, but I don't see all of them. I will read all of them later. But she said, ugh, my inbox is so filled with all these prophecies everybody's sending me about the end times. She says, I just can't even read them. And she says, do you get stuff like that? I said, not anymore. I did. For about 8 years, I had people regularly sending me prophecies about Barack Obama being the Antichrist. And I just got to a place, as soon as somebody sent me that, I was just like, block, depart from me, I never knew ye. I just don't have time to entertain that kind of nonsense. And so I was thinking about the idea that Paul said, prophecies shall fail. He says, love will not fail, but prophecies will. Prophecies are not an absolute. As a matter of fact, in chapter 14, the following chapter to this one, he actually gives instructions for, the vocal gifts of the Spirit, the charismata, tongues and interpretation and prophecy. And he says, he actually says, if somebody prophesies in the church, put together a council of three elders to judge the prophecy, to even see if it's valid enough to accept. So Paul, now he wrote to the Thessalonians and he says, despise not prophesying. But to the Corinthians, he said, don't base everything on prophecy. Love doesn't fail, but prophecies are going to fail. And he says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. We don't have the fullness. Even if we have a prophetic gift, we don't know everything. And so he was very adamant about, he was suspect enough of human prophecy that he says, don't even just let one elder judge it. That's where he says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Because he says, you know, prophecy's iffy enough that, you know, judge it and filter out the parts of it that you just cannot accept, and the parts of it that resonate with you, walk with that. Let me say it this way. A prophecy, it speaks to potential. Like if someone prophesies something to you, it says this is within the realm of possibility. I mean, I used to get prophesied over so much that I nearly got to where, like, if somebody would call me out, I'd want to say, just don't do it anymore, because sometimes people would prophesy things that they just didn't resonate with me. And some of them, I would judge them to say, all right, I'm going to receive that, but maybe not in the way that you said it. Like I remember Kim Clement prophesied I was going to get $1 billion. I've never one time thought that I was going to get some registered check for $1 billion. This is the way I've judged that prophecy. This is how I interpreted it. Well, for the rest of my life, there's like a spiritual trust fund that's set up for me. And every time somebody sends me, they send me 20 bucks on the Cash App, I think, well, there's 20 of that billion. And I will not live long enough on the earth to exhaust that entire fund. So I don't denounce his prophecy as a false prophecy. You know, about a year later, we had Mark Sharona at the church, and he prophesied I was going to get $1 million. I thought, wow, what, has God downgraded me? Because last year it was $1 billion. But even with $1 billion plus $1 million, I just think, well, this is how I interpret it. I don't think some billionaire is going to give me $1 billion. I don't even know that I would want to have that much money. As it turns out, of all the years I followed those guys who were prosperity teachers, I'm not really that materialistic. I'm just not. To me, I like nice things, and if I want to do something, I want to be able to afford to do it. But to me, having a lot of stuff is just a hassle. It just, having too much stuff to keep up with, I just really prefer simplicity. I do. I think if I wanted more, I would have more. And I have everything that I need. I don't really want anything else. I just always believe, well, when I need money, I'll have money. And I don't ever second guess that. I mean, I really deeply believe all of my needs will always be met for the rest of my life. And if I really want to do something, I will do it. Eventually, after my mom goes to be with the Lord, I want to take Ken after, and this will be he'll be retiring at some point, and I want to take him. There's a lot of places I want to show him in the world that I will do that. I've kind of already seen him, so to me, a lot of international travel is just, it's a lot of work, but that's just where I'm at on that whole thing. So when I get a prophecy that says you're going to get $1 billion, the way I judge it is, oh, I'll always have everything I need. And if I need more, I'll get more. If I want more, I'll get more. The universe will respond. The universe will make this prophecy come to pass according to my faith. I mean, Paul also said, to the Romans, he said, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So, like, if you hear a prophecy, it's not like you're just channeling the deity. You're having to kind of speak faith in it yourself. So, I was thinking about some of that crazy stuff I got. I mean, it was a fairly steady stream for about 8 years while Obama was president. And I used to get a lot of them that would say, they would open up with, does the Bible prophesize that Barack Obama is the Antichrist? And I think, no, the Bible doesn't prophesize that, because prophesize isn't a word. Prophecy, noun, is a word with a C, P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y. Prophesy is a verb with an S, P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y. P-H-E-S-Y. Prophesize is not a word. So if you're going to spew your false doctrine, at least get your grammar right. And by the way, sarcasm was intended there. I've decided to embrace my sarcasm. I think if I wasn't sarcastic, I would lose my edge. So I no longer renounce my sarcasm. My sarcasm is beautiful. So now I look at, and I think you know me well enough to know, if you think I'm making political statements, then you don't know me. I'm talking about the way much of the, especially white evangelical church, has tried to make their sense of prophecy, make their politics fit into their prophecy. Like, I was even looking at my cousin-in-law, who is one of Donald Trump's advisors. He's been at all those White House events, even the super spreader ones, you know, and somehow, to my knowledge, he hasn't gotten sick. And he's a good man, and we are on the North and South Pole from each other politically, but I do believe he's a good man. And recently, his mother-in-law, who was my dad's younger brother's first wife, lives close to my mom, and they've become very good friends, and that's actually been a big blessing in her life. So I'm totally good with him. And I was looking at his Instagram account the other day, and all he ever posts on Instagram, he doesn't post any political stuff. It's all basically scriptures or scripture memes, something like that. So I was scrolling down and reading people's comments, and apparently, I don't watch his service, but he has a mega church here in Gainesville, and he's got another one in California. He had one here downtown for a while. I don't know if he's still got that or not, but suffice it to say, he's uber successful. And I'm proud of him. I mean, I'm proud of my extended family and their success in the ministry. But apparently, right after the election, he must have led his congregation in prayer for, and he called him President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. He must have led them in prayer, which, I mean, hats off to him. I mean, I didn't lead Metron in prayer for Donald Trump when he got inaugurated. And believe me, I caught hell for it from many people that used to go to the church in the now that I've now blocked, because they were just, I mean, cussing me out, you know, that I didn't lead the congregation in prayer. I just didn't. There was no agenda to it. I just didn't do it. But my cousin-in-law did. I mean, he, even though he's a Trump advisor, he said, this is the man that's been elected, and we need to pray for him as the scripture scripture demands. So I thought, well, all right, hats off to him. You know, even if I disagree with you, I'm such a reconciler. I'm always looking for where's the thing I can agree with you about. Like, you know, I used to say this all the time. Like, if like some Muslim terrorist ever kidnapped me and asked me to renounce Christianity or they're going to execute me, I would say, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't die for the gospel. I mean, if it came right down to it and my life depended on it, no, I would not disown Jesus. I would not. But before you just cut my head off, could we talk? Because I think we're saying the same thing more than you realize. I mean, Genesis 25 says that Isaac and Ishmael came together to bury their father Abraham. And you know, Ishmael was the father of ultimately the father of Islam. I mean, Muhammad was the prophet, but the Islamic faith came out of the son of Abraham, who was Ishmael, not Isaac. Judaism, Christianity came out of Isaac. But when Abraham died, Ishmael and Isaac buried Abraham together. Years ago, I was in Palestine, and I was preaching to ex-members of the, was it PLO? Is that the name of their? And I mean, I could look over their heads and see outside the window. I could see Yasser Arafat's tomb. That's where we were. I could see the armed guards out there guarding him. And I was saying to them that God is the he's the God of the Palestinians as well as the Israelis. And I talked about Isaac and Ishmael. And it was one of those moments where I thought, you know, if I didn't ever do anything else in my lifetime, the fact that I could stand here in Ramallah, Palestine, and speak this word of reconciliation, if I never accomplished anything else, that has just validated my call. And that's why I would say, you know, before you just martyr me, let me tell you, in the Aramaic language, which Jesus spoke, he referred to God as Allah, which is another way of saying Allah, which is a derivative of the word Elohim. So really, we're saying, I mean, the Quran talks about Mary being the mother of Jesus and talks about a virgin birth. I mean, it's like a lot of the dissent between the Abrahamic religions is just ignorance of what, ignorance of roots. So back to my cousin-in-law, I was scrolling down, reading some of the comments, and this one woman wrote this long thing. I mean, she tore him up. And she was like, how dare you pray for Joe Biden and those Democrats? Don't you know that they're the goats and we're the sheep? And I thought, wow, that's interesting. You think when Jesus talked about sheep and goats, he was talking about Democrats and Republicans. I know somebody that I'm pretty close to who, you remember a couple of years ago when a lot of Democrats were elected to the House of Representatives and all the women wore white because it was a sign of solidarity of women in politics. And I read somebody wrote, they said, this is what Jesus meant when he said, you are whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. And I thought, wow, that's a stretch. You thought Jesus was talking to Democrats? I mean, I'm pretty sure he was talking to the Jewish religious leaders who didn't believe in him. But anyway, that's fine. I thought, how does the church begin to see things that way? You know, even when, like recently, I was on YouTube and I was just listening to the praise and worship at several mega churches. Mostly all white mega churches, but I was listening to how many of their songs were about God is on our side, God is on our side, God is on our side. Look, when Paul said if God be for us, who can be against us, us is a very big umbrella. He wasn't talking about Democrats versus Republicans. And I think, wow, how do they get that? Because you need to know, I do not believe in conspiracy theories. I don't think, you know, here in Georgia, bless their hearts, they just had to vote. They had to count the Georgia votes for a third time. And even our Republican governor even told Trump yesterday, he said, look, I can't make them count them again. There wasn't any fraud. The election wasn't stolen. People that say, well, it was stolen. Look, the voting is independent in all 50 states. There would be no way to coordinate this nefarious thing. I mean, whether you like it or not, Joe Biden won. And Donald Trump still got an incredible amount of votes. So no, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I think QAnon is nuts. Not only do I think they're nuts, I think they're evil. This whole thing about believing that Hillary Clinton's running a child trafficking thing out of a pizza parlor so that Tom Hanks can eat babies. I mean, that's just nuts. And I know there are Christian leaders who are espousing that stuff. And it's the same old, same old. If you know anything about the Elders of Zion, that's that urban legend about the Jews that got together and this cabal of Jews that decided to run the world, and they were eating babies and drinking their blood, and you know, Hitler really pushed that. That's how he you know, brought in the Holocaust, is because people believe the Elders of Zion, and QAnon it's just a page right out of that. So no, I don't believe that. I don't believe when Tony Fauci says, you know, it'd be better if churches don't meet right now. I don't think that's an attack on churches. I don't think churches are being persecuted. I mean, my God, the American church, they're the most successful. I mean, they're tax exempt. The megachurch pastors are millionaires. They have voices in politics. They get to do whatever they want to do. They're not being persecuted. If you want to see Christian persecution, go to some of these third world countries. You know, Christian persecution was the Turks beheading the Armenians. You know, that was Christian persecution. Not somebody saying, maybe it's not a good time to have a praise team spewing out, you know, COVID over you in the atmosphere while you're singing. So no, I don't believe all that stuff. And I think, how do people believe that? And it's because they don't believe that prophecies can fail. You know, I grew up, and people have asked me this in so many interviews. They said, if you knew you were gay, why did you get married a second time? And, you know, my answer has always been, because I, you know, Debbie and I got married in 1988. We thought the rapture was going to take place. We thought it was going to take place in September of 1988. So I thought, I mean, I didn't think we were going to be married longer than about 3 weeks. And that's because people interpreted Matthew 24 a certain way, where Jesus said, there are some of you who are here now who will still be alive when this happens. So they believed that when Israel became a nation in 1948, that 40 years from that, which was a generation, was 1988. I mean, I grew up my whole life believing I would not be here past the age of 30. So because I didn't believe prophecies could fail, and I didn't understand how to judge prophecies, I just took them at face value. Just because somebody prophesies something doesn't mean it's going to happen, and it doesn't mean it's the truth. You know, I look at some of these people that were sending me these prophecies about Obama being president, and they would even make up stuff like the Bible says, for the man of sin will come from Kenya. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. What are you talking about? And then, you know, you fast forward now, those same people, I mean, Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, the name of his building is the 666 building. These same people look away from that. They don't see that. Can you imagine if Obama had a son-in-law who owned the 666 building? I'm sure my inbox would have, you know, had exponentially more bogus prophecies coming in. And even, you know, the vice presidential debate, when the fly landed on Pence's head and stayed there for a long time, you know, there's a lot of people that believe that's a sign. You know, Beelzebub is the Lord of the Flies, and it used to be, you know, the same people that used to execute left-handed people or also believe that if a fly landed on you and stayed for a long time, it was God exposing you, that you were part of Beelzebub. I just looked at that and thought, no, it's just a fly on his head. I don't think he's demonic. It's just a fly on his head. Because I know how to judge prophecies. And, you know, I was thinking about, I had to look him up this morning to see if he was still alive. Hal Lindsey, that wrote The Late Great Planet Earth. He's 91 years old. And I remember back in the year 2000, he was on TBN and they were interviewing him at the end of the year. And he looked into the camera and he said, I'm telling you, these are the last hours of the last days. And this was 20 years ago. And he said, at midnight, when Y2K comes in, you're going to start seeing planes fall out of the sky. I mean, there was not one computer glitch on the entire planet. And yet people still take what he says and say, well, he prophesied it and he used these verses of scripture. I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you for the bazillionth time. The Bible is not a book. It is a collection of books by different authors. The Protestant canon has 40 different authors who spoke to 40 different generations. Not 40 different generations, but different generations. And when you try to take their words and sew them all together and create this theology of end times, you come up with these wacky ideas. Like even I was reading this week, even the word, the name Lucifer, when the Old Testament talks about Lucifer, it's talking about an Assyrian king. It's not talking about, you know, this devil that people think it was talking about. I mean, when John wrote the letters to the seven churches in Revelation, he said, I'm going to show you things that are about to take place. And they did take place. Those Christians were being martyred. And they didn't need to read some prophecy about some election in the year 2020. And when I read, you know, I look at even, there's even some people that used to go to church in the now that were just, I remember when I knew them, they just loved Jesus and they were into praise and worship and they were soul winners and they were all that kind of stuff. I look at their pages now and there's not a word about Jesus. Everything's about Donald Trump. Everything is. And they're praying that the election be overturned and all that kind of stuff. Look, it's just an American election. There's nothing more to, I don't think God put Barack Obama in office. I don't think he put Donald Trump in office. They're just elections. When the scripture talks about promotion comes from the Lord, he sets up one and puts down another. He wasn't talking about American elections. God wasn't an American. Jesus wasn't an American. It's the height of arrogance to assume that these Israelis thousands of years ago were talking about us in America. And when I read some of the arguments, even last night I was reading some things that people were writing to Carlton Pearson, and the whole thing seems to be about abortion and Zionism. We believe God put Donald Trump in office to overthrow abortion and because he's a friend of Israel. Let me say this again. A president doesn't do that. I mean, when Roe versus Wade was enacted in 1973, we had a Republican president. His name was Richard Nixon. And now, for those of you that consider yourself pro-life, you've got your conservative judges. I mean, it's very probable that that could be overturned. And, you know, I'm not planning on having an abortion, so it's a non-issue to me, but I know it is to a lot of other people. So you got what you wanted. And as far as Israel, I love Israel, but I love Palestine too. And I believe for a two-state solution. I don't think God loves, I've read the New Testament. I don't think the whole plan of God was to get Israel as a nation restored. And that's not an anti-Semitic statement. I've been to Israel more than once. I love it. It's beautiful. I don't think that was God's plan. I think when Paul talked about spiritual Israel, he meant for the entire planet was supposed to become the nation of God. So vote for whoever you want to vote for, but understand that prophecies fail. And if you're seeing everything through the lens of biblical prophecy that has been disproved over and over and over again, you might want to judge that prophecy and understand that everybody, including me, knows in part and prophesies in part. Anybody who says, this is what the Bible says, absolutely, don't listen to them, because nobody knows absolutely what it says. Nobody is the end-all, be-all voice of God. Nobody is. So, again, these are not political statements. I'm trying to get people to, I think most of you already know this, but you probably have family members that are still struggling with this. The other day I was seeing people post about it's the last minutes of the last days because now Facebook has even prohibited the Lord's Prayer being printed. I'm like, do y'all even have Google? I'm not even expecting you to have the Holy Spirit. Do you just have Google? I mean, that's not true. I post the Lord's Prayer all the time. It's not, you know, you're looking for stuff. Do I think it's the end of the world? If it's the end of the world, it's not because we're about to fly away or because of some interpretation of prophecy. When Jesus said in Matthew 24, some of you are alive today who will see this happen, that did happen. The temple was burned down in 70 AD. So it was very possible that many of the people who were standing there on the Mount of Olives and heard him say that would have been alive 40 years later and did see that. That's why the Jews dispersed all over the world. It's not rocket science. And when you read more into it than is there, you're going to believe crazy stuff. I can't do it anymore. When somebody says, have you read such and such biblical prophecy? I'm like, baby, I ain't even going to read it because it's, you know, Paul said to judge prophecy, and I'm going to judge that as nonsense. So stop. If you want to be pro-life and pro-Israel, that's fine. I have no argument with you. But don't lose your mind over crazy stuff. The election was not stolen. It's just the election. It's just an American election. And Donald Trump may run again in 4 years, and he may get reelected. He had plenty of people in Valdosta last night here in Georgia who clearly support him, and most of them are support. I mean, I've even seen people, I was asking Ken, because people that he and I both know, that he knows better than I do, were sharing things about the devil knows, it's the last days, and these are people that don't even go to church. And I asked him about one the other night. I said, does this person go to some fundamentalist church? And he said, no. Why? I said, because he was posting about the devil and the Antichrist. He said, I'm sure he just shared it from somebody else's page. Don't believe nonsense. Trust your heart. I was thinking about this, and I'll end with this, but yesterday I was thinking about why people do want to believe that they're going to fly away, or they need to believe that heaven's out there somewhere. And I don't have any argument with them. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. People prophesy out of what they know. And the more limited your knowledge of things is, the more limited your prophecy will be. And in the beginning of Wizard of Oz, you know, Dorothy is singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Her idea is the things I'm looking for are out there somewhere. And then the revelation she has is, there's no place like home. In other words, the thing I've been looking for is already here. It's already inside me. No, I don't think the second coming of Christ is an event. I believe we're the second coming of Christ. It's not a thing that we look for. It's something that we are. That's what I see when Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away, basically, so that you can become me. That's what he was saying. So, man... I feel so much energy in life today. I could speak another hour, but I don't want to saturate you. I do love you a way whole lot, and I can't wait to read your comments. I love your comments. I love you. I even love, there's a lot of people that I block on Facebook. It doesn't mean I don't love you. I don't want to read your nonsense, especially if you used to go to my church, because there's some people that post things I want to say, don't ever tell anybody. You sat under my ministry. Just go ahead, just publicly renounce me. Let's pretend like we never knew each other, because you sure didn't get that from me, and I clearly did not influence you in any shape or form. I want to say to them, like Paul said to the Galatians, you did run well. What hindered you? In other words, you used to be in liberty. How did you go back under that kind of bondage? In the words of John Lennon and Paul McCartney, I'll say this. One thing I can tell you is you got to be free. I can't go back to Egypt. I can't. And I love many of you who still want to live there, and that's fine. That's your, you know, no disrespect to you or your belief system. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want to be where the Spirit of the Lord is. And if the prophecy, if you get a prophecy that makes you afraid, I mean, Paul said, pardon me for quoting Paul so much, but he talked about prophecy in the New Testament more than anybody else did. He said, prophecy is to edify, exhort, and comfort. If it doesn't edify you, it ain't from God. If it doesn't exhort you, and exhort means challenge you to be better, not condemn you. If it doesn't edify, exhort, or comfort you, I will say this publicly. You know, this is, and some people say, don't say that, stand on the roof of that building, you could be struck by lightning. I'm not afraid of it. That's not from God. Any prophecy that makes you be afraid or makes you do crazy political things or it causes you to believe every conspiracy theory you hear, it's not from God. I'm telling you, it's not from God. It's somebody who knows in part and is ultimately prophesying in part. So I tell you, if this was the last sermon I would ever preach, this would be a good one to end on, because I think, man, I unapologetically told the truth. And I believe, even if your mind disagrees with me, I know if you have a heart toward God, you know what I've just told you is the truth. It is the truth. And the truth makes you free. All right. Remember, our Zoom Christmas event is December 23rd. If you haven't downloaded that app, go ahead and do it. It's easy to do, but I want you to be a part of it. I know we can have as many as 100, and if we have more than that, we'll figure it out. But that's going to be really great. Those of you that want to give to Metron so you can get your tax exemption, that's fine. Or if you want to send something to me personally, that's fine. I have all the apps. I have PayPal, Cash App, Zelle, what's the other one? I got them all. I'll drive to your house and pick it up. So if you want to do that, I'll post all my links. You can do that. But I want you to be as confident about your prosperity as I am. I want you to believe that you're going to have money. As a matter of fact, let me say it this way. Kim Clement prophesied I was going to get $1 billion. Guess what? I'm going to prophesy you're getting $1 billion too. How about that? So I just set up for you a spiritual trust fund. You judge that prophecy and believe that there'll always be money coming in for you too. There's the universe is abundant. There's more than enough of everything that you need. You're going to have enough for Christmas. And I speak wellness over your body and over your household. And we're in the home stretch for 2020. And just psychologically, it's going to be good to get past this year. And better days are coming. And until they do, you're fine. I mean, remember, Israel lived in the land of Goshen while all the plagues were coming on Egypt, and they weren't affected by them. So find your spiritual Goshen and live there. All right? You're blessed. You're healed. You're well. Peace, love, joy, and life.